wondered just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down our country, man, they're walking on the back side of me. You're walking on the back side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And, of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, once again, I've got to admire the leadership of President Donald Trump. Over the past few days, he has several times mentioned that what we're looking at is the China virus. And there have been politically correct people who have harumphed and carried on and how could you say that? And he said, because it came from China. And you know, that's the way to deal with politically incorrect or accusations of being politically incorrect. You shouldn't say that. Well, I'll say it because it's true. Rather than retreating, well, of course, other people have a coronavirus too, and all that. You can just almost trace the sort of discussion of somebody in complete retreat. You know, well, no, I didn't really mean that, or I misspoke, or I didn't mean everybody, or we've all heard that sort of pathetic retreat conversation, and Donald Trump did not do that to his huge credit. Well, then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has been referring to the coronavirus as the Wuhan virus. Oh, you can't say that. You can't say that. And he just continues to say it. Why? Because it's true. Because they've got to own it. You can hear people say, well, this is not the time for politics. I agree. This is not the time for childish politics. But it's also not the time to shy away from the truth. And Donald Trump has even commented that, had the Chinese been honest, had they owned up to this early, we might not be as behind the eight ball as we are today. We're playing catch-up. That had the world been warned a month earlier, as the Chinese authorities were desperately trying to cover things up, which is the way things go in a totalitarian regime. The initial response to the Chinese doctor, the ophthalmologist, who blew the whistle on this, who said, there's an epidemic here, we've got a serious problem, was to fling him in jail. Yeah, under much the same law that Canada once wanted to put Ernst Zundel in jail. Why? False news. Whatever that is. Spreading rumors. Well, our law didn't prevent spreading rumors, but it forbade false news. Now, it was eventually overturned by the Supreme Court, but not before Ernst & Lavine, before the courts twice, spent a king's ransom on legal fees. Anyway, the accusation is quite correct. This is the Chinese virus, or put it a little differently, it's a virus that could have been contained much earlier and done far less damage than it has done, and probably than it will do. Again, to his credit, Donald Trump is not backing down. He's not saying, I really shouldn't have said that. No, he's saying it's true. And Red Chinese should own it. Of course, they don't like to hear that. Nor do their numerous apologists in the West want to hear that. So, good on Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Good on Donald Trump for sticking to his guns. Well, today there was a further cause of outrage. Donald Trump has suggested that he might ban the importation of Chinese food because of their filthy practices. It was the virus escaping into a seafood and seafood and wild food market that spread the virus, that allowed this virus to leap from the animal kingdom into the human kingdom. And this is not the first time. And we reference the spread of the SARS epidemic 15 years ago. And SARS originated, and we've got to remember this, it originated with a... In a similar open-air market where the animals are kept in filthy conditions, urinating and defecating on each other, because the Chinese have an obsession with fresh wild meat. But they don't have an obsession with cleanliness. And that's a lethal combination. So, Donald Trump is quite right that he thinks we should be cautious, at least for these next little while, about importing Chinese food. Well, once again, harumphs of outrage from the politically correct and the China lobby. You see, the rule of political correctness is that favored minorities, and that is racial minorities particularly, must not be criticized. Because why? Because it's racist. Now, how do you deal with that most potent accusation? You are racist. Well, I know it frightens people. People would almost rather be accused of being a child molester or something like that than to be called a racist. So there are strategies like, I'm not a racist, my best friend is Chinese, or no, I'm not a racist, I like Chinese food, or I'm not a racist, I'm married to a Chinese, or you can fill in the pathetic excuses. Rather than say, I'm a race realist, and racial differences matter. And in this case, it desperately matters that we face the truth, that this disease came from China. Well, how did Donald Trump handle it? Well, he handled it well. He said, basically the disease came from China. I'm protecting Americans is my first priority. Now, that's of course very, very healthy, and it also of course stresses the positive. Well, should we just move on and just say, stuff happens? Or should we, farther down the line, insist on accountability from China? And this is something from the Rebel Media in Canada. Canada is supposed to be on lockdown because of the global coronavirus pandemic. But did you know that unvetted flights are still arriving from China? We are doing less screening than at airports in Pakistan. And mask-wearing illegals are just walking into Canada at the Roxham Road checkpoint. That's right. They continue to walk across the border. The illegals. Some of them wise enough to be wearing one of these surgical masks, which may not do much good, but, you know, they think it does. And instead of enforcing that border and say, back you go, you're not coming in. They still come in. Justin Trudeau and his health minister, Patty Hajdu, are just so bad, so slow, so indecisive, so incompetent, I can't understand it. This is Ezra Levant writing. It's almost as if they want Canada to become infected by the coronavirus. But you wouldn't know it if you only trusted the Trudeau-friendly mainstream media to deliver the news. Well, at Rebel News, we're still working tirelessly to tell the other side of the story. In this extended highlight from my nightly show, The Ezra Levant Show, I have two exceptional clips to show you today. I've dissected the early timelines and spread of the novel coronavirus and trace it right down to Trudeau's fake entry ban. We're still getting people from China, and they're virtually unscreened as they come through the airport. This is madness. It is the same as permitting unprotected, I doubt you can fully protect, but unprotected anal sex involving a person who has AIDS. I mean, it borders on, in fact, I suggest it is criminal, what is being done to us. I'm going to play a clip from Trudeau from Rebel Media on this, and it's coming up here. I hope. Trudeau's coronavirus bailout package won't help you unless you're a bank. That's not good to hear. And this is, of course, Canada, not the United States. It's a different situation. And this is from Rebel Media.
Trudeau's coronavirus pandemic bailout package missed the mark and doesn't help the people who need it the most. It fails to even ensure there are jobs for low-income hospitality workers to go back to when this is all over. Wednesday morning, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau wandered out of his self-isolation at Rideau Cottage looking as disheveled as I have ever seen him lately, and he announced an $82 billion spending subsidy and loan package to limit the economic fallout caused by the coronavirus self-isolation measures to prevent the spread of the infection that Trudeau himself allowed to be imported into the country for far too long. Now, there are some measures in that package to help people who are going into isolation, like easier access to EI, top-ups of the child benefit, increased GST checks to those who do qualify, and deferred tax payments until August and delayed tax filing until June. And eligible small businesses can qualify for a temporary wage subsidy for 3 months. This subsidy will be equal to 10% of the wages paid during that period, up to a maximum subsidy of $1,375 per employee. There were also some typically laughable liberal things said in Trudeau's presser, like when Trudeau insisted all this spending and delayed federal revenue will not drive the country into recession. Trudeau insisted his, quote, prudent decisions made over the last 5 years have put Canada on a strong economic footing to weather this crisis. Excuse me, what? What last 5 years are we even talking about here? Now, the aid package is being applauded by those on the left and the right. However, there is a tidal wave about to hit the hospitality industry, and it's going to affect everyone, even people who don't work in hospitality. The hospitality industry is screwed, and so we all are. And I know there are other industries being harmed right now, like, for example, independent hair salons who are being told to work 3 feet away from their clients. But for today, let's talk about the food service folks. The feds can dish out bigger GST checks all they want to food service workers, but there won't be jobs for them to return to when this is all over. Just look at this from the Globe and Mail today. Wage subsidies won't stave off job losses, business groups say. Yeah, no kidding. And this is from the Waterloo Record. About 1,000 employees with local restaurant chain Charcoal Group have been laid off because of the coronavirus pandemic. It's one thing if they, the government, say we have to weather this for 3 weeks and how are we going to support everybody. But we don't know if it's 3 months, said Jody Palabisky, Chief Executive Officer of Charcoal Group of Restaurants. Said Wednesday, the company operates 8 restaurants in Waterloo region and 6 in other cities, including Charcoal Steakhouse, Wildcraft, The Bower Kitchen, Beertown, Moose Winooski's, and Social Kitchen. In the region, about 650 workers are laid off until March 31st. Palabisky said after Premier Ford announced a state of emergency, he received a message from one of his landlords to take all precautions during the pandemic, but reminded him his rent was still due. Rents are still due, and our principal payments, interest payments, utilities, are they still due when they're supposed to be? We don't know, he said. Palabisky said the restaurants have adjusted thermostats, turned off the gas, and disconnected coffee machines in an attempt to trim costs. Now, here's the thing about that $82 billion aid package Trudeau announced. The aid to help the hospitality industry and really businesses in general, well, it was given to the banks, like the BDC. So now these struggling business owners still have to qualify for those loans. Try explaining to the bank that they should lend you a pile of money when the government has all but effectively closed your business for a completely undetermined amount of time. The government has said things to scare away your customers, maybe forever, sometimes rightly, sometimes wrongly, but you're good for all that money someday, if the government ever lets you reopen. Now, in Alberta and now federally, businesses and individuals can defer their tax payments until the end of August. I guess that's something. But deferring tax payments, well, that doesn't really help you if your business is closed until at least when your tax payment comes due. How do you pay your taxes if you're not open to earn the money to pay your taxes? And Trudeau's employee wage subsidy, well, that doesn't help restaurant, bar, and pub owners if the government has already ordered your business closed, or if you're running at under 20%, and so you had to lay off all the employees that you did have. And now, as a restaurateur, you owe $100,000 in rent, $100,000 to your suppliers, $50,000 in utilities, and you have no liquidity and cash flow all of a sudden, and the economy was already terrible to start with, and you've been struggling to keep up with not least tax hikes and her minimum wage hikes. You've been basically running on fumes for years, and now the tank is $250,000 in the hole overnight. Now, here in Alberta, the government is allowing for deferred utility payments for small commercial operations, but again, how do you pay for something when the government has kneecapped your ability to earn the money you need to pay the utilities when they do come due? To be fair, over the next couple of days, Alberta, at least the government, has said that they will be announcing more measures meant to help. But as I'm making this video, we don't know what those look like yet. And I'm generally confident the government tends to get these things wrong anyway. Now, maybe you're thinking to yourself, Sheila, I don't eat out, so I don't care about the hospitality industry. Well, I don't eat out much either, but I care because I own a home. Let me explain. The big chains, they'll survive, and big chain drive-thrus, they're going to survive. They'll be a little worse for wear at the end of this, but they'll be okay. The local guys in smaller places won't be. Commercial real estate vacancies will skyrocket. Municipalities will see a collapse in their tax base. The same thing happened in Calgary as their office towers emptied out during Trudeau and Notley's war on oil and gas. The remaining businesses, the ones who can survive, they will see a tax hike, and they will pass the costs along to their customers. Homeowners will face tax hikes from municipalities who are trying to make up the difference. Again, all we have to do is look at Calgary as evidence. For all the people out there saying that you don't own a home, so you don't care about property taxes, well, your landlord owns a home, yours, and he will be passing the tax hikes on to you. The COVID-19 bailout misses most of all these newly shuttered hospitality businesses. Business owners didn't do this to themselves, just like, you know, GM did so many years ago. The Chinese government did this with their evil lies about their virus, and then the Canadian government closed the doors for businesses because the Canadian government didn't close the borders soon enough, or at all, really, as Kian Bexy has proven at Wroxham Road. And now the government has to fix the harm they've done. These businesses need immediate tax relief, municipal, provincial, and federal tax relief, because the measures designed to help them won't do much to keep them afloat and preserve all the jobs these businesses create in our communities. Instead, though, April 1st, April Fool's Day, the head April Fool of the entire country is giving us all an increase in the carbon tax. For Rebel News, I'm Sheila Gunn-Reed. During this Chinese coronavirus pandemic, Rebel News is going to be working hard to bring you the other side of the story, and we promise we won't be co-opted by Chinese disinformation either. If you like this video, be sure to give it a thumbs up, be sure to like our YouTube channel, and ring the bell to never miss a story. And if you like the kind of work we do, one of the best ways to support us is to become a subscriber to Rebel News Plus. That's what we call our long-form, premium-style, paywalled content here at Rebel News. Just go to rebelnews.com/subscribe to join today.
That's an excellent report on Trudeau and the coronavirus and his failure to take actions. Now, here's another interesting question. Should Canadians be able to sue China, coronavirus victims sue China for negligence? What do you think? Do you want to see more of this is another commentary for Rebel News on whether or not we should be able to get some compensation. You know, the litigious Western world often emphasizes compensation. Well, perhaps this would be a good example to do that. This looks at the question of is it possible to have a class action lawsuit against the sovereign government of China? And lawyer Manny Montenegrino answers a call in his Ottawa home to discuss if victims can sue China for their negligence in unleashing a pandemic on the world. One of the earliest healthcare workers from the Wuhan Central Hospital to spread the news to the rest of the world was Dr. Li Wenliang, who was reprimanded by the Communist Chinese police for making false comments online. Dr. Li later contracted the illness and died in February. China knew the truth about the seriousness of the virus. The country was the origin point for the widespread world illness. Also for SARS, that was for SARS in 2002, and in 2009 for the H1N1 swine flu. And this time, China covered up the severity of the illness and won't allow outside health officials in to help, wouldn't allow them in to help at the early stages. The question is relevant because the country of Libya paid $1.5 billion to settle claims related to the Lockerbie bombing. that was at a time that they were apparently the perpetrators originated in Libya, and eventually, it took years, but eventually they had to pay up.
calling this the Chinese virus. There are reports of dozens of incidents of bias against Chinese Americans in this country. Your own aide, Secretary Azar, says he does not use this term because ethnicity does not cause the virus. Why do you keep using this?
Well, it comes from China. Racist. It's not racist at all, no, not at all. It comes from China. That's why. It comes from China. I want to react here.
Well, that is President Donald Trump answering a question from the White House press corps about why he uses the phrase China virus. No one's asking him why he says Spanish flu or German measles or Ebola or Zika, which are also named after geographical locations. It's a line propagated by the Chinese Communist Party, which is trying to shift the blame for this virus, which first was discovered in the Chinese city of Wuhan, onto America. In fact, very senior Chinese diplomats have actually circulated conspiracy theories that the virus is a creation of the United States. Well, this and other curiosities came to the attention of one of our favorite legal observers and analysts, our friend Manny Montemagrino. He joins us now via Skype from Ottawa. Manny, great to see you again, and I'm so glad you're staying safe and healthy.
Thank you, Ezra. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. It's got to stop. This political correctness has got to stop. We are in a pandemic that is literally destroying millions of lives, millions of jobs, millions of people. We don't need to be wasting a moment's time on whether the word Chinese virus is racist. This is just absolute absurdity. It just amazes me that even at this destruction of most societies, that's all that some people could focus on. The president is doing, in addition to trying to save his economy and millions of people, and dealing with the unthinkable, he has to deal with the politically correct liberal media trying to say what term to use. The president used that term lately simply to defend against the Chinese government media, the propaganda that they're trying to shift blame away from itself to America. And, you know, it makes sense for the Chinese government to do it, because China has caused, you know, in my estimation, at least $5 trillion in economic damage worldwide. China has caused at least 10,000 lives and many more to come because of its woeful negligence and its covering up of a virus that it knew. And so China is doing what China has to do, and that is to try to avoid liability. Iran tried that. You might recall when the Iran government or the Iran military shot down the plane, the civilian plane, they first denied it, said it wasn't us, and then at least they accepted it. Now, we were outraged. We want compensation for the lives lost, the 200 lives there. It wasn't intentional. Iran, it was gross negligence. And you and I, Ezra, know that when there's gross negligence, there's liability that follows and competition has. In China, not only do we have gross negligence, we have intentional. They hit it. They had the doctor Dr. Li, God bless him, who first identified it, was put in some kind of custody and told not to propagate lies and propagate rumors. And that only spread the virus worldwide during the Chinese New Year. So we have a country that has not only acted willfully and intentionally to mask this virus, but also gross negligently. And we are worried about a term? I mean, what is going on?
You know, off camera, you were telling me about, I mean, you're of Italian heritage, and you follow very closely Italy, which is had a tremendous loss so far from this virus. And China has done something that, frankly, it reminds me of what O.J. Simpson said after he was acquitted. He said, I'm going to look for the real killers. which was not only insulting, but it was laughable. It was a way of him to obfuscate his own role. When China sends a few trinkets of medical equipment to countries that it infected by covering up the truth, that reminds me of OJ saying, oh, well, let me make it all better. Let me try and find the real killer. And here's the thing. I don't think anyone blames those countries in Africa from which Zika virus or Ebola virus came because, you know, that's nature. It's not a national culpability. But as you point out, China, the government of China, deliberately covered up. And here's a story, and here it is in Chinese, and now here it is put through Google Translate. This is from Xinhua, the large newswire in China, on January 1st, 2020, reporting arrests of doctors for saying the wrong thing. I forget the exact term that they used in Chinese. They were arresting whistleblowers.
Yeah, they were spreading rumors. But Ezra, there's more to this story. It isn't just January 1st where the government of China committed intentional harm. This goes back 30, 40 years. Now, let me explain this. In 1970, before China muscled up to a great economy that it was, tens of millions of Chinese were dying, starving of hunger. And what they allowed, the Chinese, then that government, allowed the Chinese to have wet market. What that basically means is the sale of live, wild animals, and that saved lives. But it also caused diseases. Corona diseases comes from the transmission of animals to animals to different species to man, and then we get a pandemic. This is, I think, my fourth. We recall the Asian flu. We recall the SARS and other. These all come from the same type. These wet markets should be shut down. There's been a movement for 10 years to shut down because wet markets cause these. So and what China did, it expanded the wet markets because it's easy, it feeds a lot of people, and it's part, and of course there's people that want it and lobby it and say that it helps them and whatever reasons. But we had a 30-year history of an intentional, what I'll call malfeasance by the government taking a Russian roulette. Basically, you have one chamber, one gun in the chamber, you roll around, does the coronavirus, a new one, be created in these wet markets that will eventually kill millions. And so this happens and happens and happens and it continues. So this is, we were outraged when Iran shot down a plane that were civilian. There was no intent to shoot down civilians. But we were outraged and we want compensation. We want that government of Iran to act like a First Nation and take responsibility and pay for the losses of people. That's not has happened yet. Well, in China, it's worse, in my opinion. I mean, legally, let me put it to you, Ezra. Let's assume that America had wet markets or whatever you want to call them that created these pandemics. And the president, Trump, hid and removed doctors and hit it, and the media hit it, and all of a sudden you created a worldwide $5 trillion of damage, collapses to people's families, destruction. And you don't think that America will be held liable? You don't think Trump will be held liable? Trump is trying to stop this, and people are upset that he's using language to defend a what I'll call a country that's using terrible manipulative tools to avoid responsibility. And Trump is not only on the front line of trying to save his economy, trying to save his people, trying to save the virus from spreading, but he's also trying to prevent China from doing this again by obfuscating its responsibility and taking its own actions to stop this from future pandemics.
But Manny, you raised some great points. If it came from these wet markets, that was a risk that they allowed. And I think you're right, in a North American legal setting, that would be litigated out of existence. There are some who wonder, and I'm one of them, if it's merely a coincidence that China's most secure and secretive biological research site for weapons is in Wuhan. So I'm not going to indulge in conspiracy theories, but it is possible that the virus came from there. I have no proof that it did. Both of those, I think you could call them negligent or accident, but what we know China did wittingly, thoughtfully, purposefully, strategically, was cover it up. Like you say, arrest the doctors for rumor mongering, delay information getting out to the world, blocking American Centers for Disease Control staff who wanted to go to Wuhan. So even if it was accidental or merely negligent at first, when China knew the truth, it covered it up, it arrested the whistleblowers, and it did not stop its infected people from traveling around the world, including to America and Canada. So here's my question for you. Is it possible to have a class action lawsuit against the sovereign government of China? I know that in the past, people have sued Libya for the bombing the jet over Lockerbie, and in the end, Libya paid out. I think in the end, Iran will probably pay out for the people it murdered by shooting down that jet a couple months ago. Do you think it's possible, or legally possible, to file a massive legal action against China? By the way, they've got the money. Do you think that it's possible to do that?
Yeah, you know, Ezra, this is going to shock you. That's the least of my concern. And let me tell you why. First of all, this is a nation that took two Canadians, and they're still in jail since 2018. This is a nation that has a million Muslims in jail, work jails. This is a nation, when we had a refugee crisis, the world all responded. Everyone took refugees but China. So I don't think, this is a nation, China's a nation, that when we declared a global warming crisis, in the last 30 years we've heard it, and certainly the last 10 years it ramped up, Canada, U.S., and the EU reduced the CO2 consumption, production, and China increased it by 200 to 300% in that same year. This is a nation that doesn't listen to the world. Ezra, my fear is this: what is happening today is catastrophic. I mean, it is destroying businesses, lives, and economies, and we've talked about it. But we will get through this. What concerns me, because right now I'm talking to you through Skype, we are still communicating, we are still connected. My wife is having a Zoom lunch with her girlfriends as we speak. She's upstairs having a Zoom lunch, because we can do it. But my fear is this nation that is not at all responsible to anyone in the world, that's trying to avoid its responsibility for what it's done, is now building a 5G platform in Canada, and it's still around the world. If we lose our technology, just think how bad our world would be today if our technology is under assault. I mean, I hope that I'm not alive when that happens. I hope it's years and years ahead. But I am fearful that if we accede to a nation, I mean, just think about this, Ezra. Mm-hmm. How could we even consider a country who's not taking responsibility for what's happened with this coronavirus, who's trying to lie and say it's the Americans' fault, who is not doing anything? It's a very rich nation, and we're considering giving them our technology, our 5G, our ability communicate. I mean, things could be shut down in a minute if we lose technology. So I'm not worried. I mean, obviously there could be a lawsuit. Obviously there should be. Obviously they should step up. but they haven't stepped up with our, you know, we declared the world in a climate emergency and trying to keep increasing its CO2 production. We tax Canadians. We destroy Alberta and trying to continue to increase its production of CO2. Now, so how do we sit there and think that this nation is going to come to the table and discuss and be, as you say, responsible to the world on a class action?
Well, I mean, I know there's tricky laws about suing countries. There's something called sovereign immunity. You can't really settle political, international squabbles in a court of any one country. So there's that problem. But there have been some lawsuits that have been accepted in the past. And I hope that American lawyers, who are amongst the most voracious lawyers in the world, I hope that some really smart lawyers, really motivated...
That was Ezra Levant on the Rebel Media. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. I'm going to take my musical interlude right now. And, excuse me, this is a concert with the late, great George Jones, the often called the Possum, in his early days, No Show Jones. Well, this is a... this is live in the Tennessee Concert Special, and the late, great George Jones, a great singer in his own right, and one who did so many great duets, especially with his wife of some years, Tammy Wynette.
Somebody like that and still realize they're just good old human being and they just love to sing, and that's what George does, and he sings better than anybody. I can't think of anything that can say any more than his songs and music has said for the last 30 years. So I think we ought to just...
Don't rock the jukebox.
Yeah. sing that stupid song. Tonight is the last night we're going to do that song.
Hey, George.
What is it? What
somebody
is it?
Said, you think he's going to show up here?
Oh, I quit that years ago. We're going to have a ball tonight. I'm so glad to have you back.
Somebody new came to win her. bless you. Thank you. Now I'm just a bartender, and I don't mind my hope, but I don't mind the money. Oh, no. I see lots of sad faces and lots of bad cases of folks with their backs to the wall. But I need folks around me to hold my life, to keep me from going lost. I need a honky tonk girl to hold me tight, to help keep me from slipping away. I can light up your smokes, I can laugh at your jokes, I can watch you fall down on your knees, I can close down this bar. Oh yes, sir, my old car, I can pack up, oh Lord, and mail in my key.
This is Paul Frobb, and you're on The Fighting Side of Me. Back with you again tomorrow, same time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Frobb, and you're on The Fighting Side of Me, here on AltRightTV.com. Also, WhiteResistanceRadio.com.